When he walked into a room, everybody looked at him. He demanded that everybody would look at him. He had that kind of presence. That's what he wants to do in us. Not for our sake, but for his glory. That when we walk in a room, everything stops because the Spirit of God rests upon us. Because the Spirit of God rests in us. Because the Spirit of God is our life. Not for our sake, but for His alone. And He's looking for people. He's looking for people who can believe the gospel, the whole gospel. Not only the parts of the gospel that you like. You know, we all play Russian roulette or Bible roulette. And we take this, we take... Listen, I'm going to tell you, the cross is not very nice. When you carry it, you get a lot of splinters on your shoulder. When you fall on your face and everybody's laughing at you, and then you got to pick yourself up by grace. I'm going to tell you, that's not easy. I'm going to tell you, Christianity without a cross is not Christianity. Christianity without abuse and persecution is not Christianity. I knew when the charismatic renewal was dead. You know when? When it went in to the diocesan book. It was dead enough to go into the book. That's real. Oh, I've said this out loud. I have nothing to hide. Because we're called to be prophetic. We're called to be prophetic. And I'm going to tell you the opposite of prophetic. It's pathetic. And I'm going to tell you, prophets are not liked. Prophets challenge the institution. But prophets don't leave. They suffer. Because you don't stay a prophet and leave. Then you're no more prophetic. You're pathetic because you're starting your own ball game. Prophets suffer. And it stinks to suffer. It stinks to be rejected. It stinks to be put on a shelf. It stinks to be mocked. But prophets stay in there. They don't begin their own church. We've got enough of that stuff. We've got enough of that stuff like amoebas. I'll tell you, I started my own church to be as dysfunctional and more than any of the churches I've ever belonged to. Prophets speak the word of God, whether they listen to or not listen to. Prophets are chosen by God Himself. The church can recognize them if they want. Many times, the churches persecute prophets, and then after they did, they canonize them. That's our history. That's our history. But you don't leave. You don't leave. You suffer. And you work from within. And you speak. Even when no one listens, you speak. And when no one seems to care, you continue to speak. Continue to love. The best of your ability. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can give you that perseverance, I tell you. And that's another word we don't hear anymore. Perseverance. The perseverance of God's people. The perseverance of the saints. To continue against all odds. The Spirit of God wants to do something new. He wants a carte blanche from His church, from you, from me. What we can do is worship Him. The last 4 nights, that's what we've been doing. We've been worshiping Him. Last night, the presence of God was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. The glory of God was all around us. The power of God was all around us.
We were so quiet at one point for about 10 minutes. We prayed last night with a man who has Parkinson's disease. We've been praying with him for several months now. This morning, we prayed with him again, and he was here last night. Everybody prayed over him. He was touching his toes last night, and you know, he was touching the ceiling yesterday afternoon. So today after the broadcast, I said, come on now, Art, I want you to take a deep knee bend. And he couldn't. He couldn't do a deep knee bend. Hasn't been able to do a deep knee bend. I can't do one myself. For different reasons, but that's another issue. So I said, I want to do a deep knee bend. And we tried, and you know, it's not in the trying, it's in the presence of God. So I said, we're going to pray again. So we prayed again. I prayed in Jesus' name that these legs be loosed. I prayed in Jesus' name that the blood of the Lamb would come upon every synapse in his head, and that the electric system would work by the power of his blood. I said, now let's do a deep knee bend. And he started doing deep knee bends. He was amazed. I haven't done a deep knee bend in so long. I said, sir, you're going back to work. You're going back to work. God's going to heal you to the degree that you go back to work. We met this man in Connecticut. When he came into the church in Connecticut, he was all hunched over, could barely walk. We were there 2 nights in Connecticut. We had him walking around that church in 2 nights. He was walking around that church. And when he goes home, he loses a little of it. I said, but then you're always welcome to come back. Come back. Just come back to us. We keep on praying with you. And you'll make more progress. You'll make more progress. I said, the house is crazy. He says, it was a crazy house, but I liked it. You see, the Spirit of God is love. Where there's no love, there's no power. Where there's no love, there's no power. Where there's no compassion, there's no power. You see, the Spirit of God is not only power, but love and mercy and justice in the Holy Spirit. And oh, he wants to have his way, because we live in a lost age. He wants to bring the light of Jesus to the world, because that's the vocation of the Holy Spirit. That he will glorify me, Jesus says. But it's also the vocation of the church, and you too shall be my witnesses. The very vocation of the Spirit of Jesus is the vocation of the church. St. Paul, in the Council of Jerusalem, the church says, it is the Holy Spirit's will and our will. The Spirit and the bride, the church, say come. We have the same vocation. He empowers us to witness to Christ. But not only in word, in sacrament. But not only in word and sacrament, but in power. I tell you, Pentecost is power. I tell you, there was fire that day. But not only fire, there was wind that day. And when the fire and the wind get together, you've got a conflagration. We need fire. Purifying fire. And we need that wind. We need that it would blow sovereignly. We need it. The world needs it. The lost children need it. They cry out, we want to see Jesus. The Greek said it in the 12th chapter of St. John. Sir, we would see Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He incarnates Jesus. He brings the presence of Jesus. He brings the healing power of Jesus. He brings the conversion that Jesus gives, and the onward conversion.
We can't do without it. And if we think we can, we're deceived. We're deceived. Because God's purpose is to reach every single person in the world. Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Jew, Greek, agnostic, Muslim, Confucius people, all of them. God's purpose is to reach, and I'm going to tell you, if they don't believe my words, if they got a sick baby dying and the baby gets healed, then they're going to stop believing. You know what Thomas Aquinas said? The great scholar? If they don't believe you in the cities you go to, then you raise the dead. Oh, we've come far from Thomas Aquinas. We've come far from Dominic. We've come far from Francis. We've come far from Peter and Paul. You know what I think today? If Peter and Paul came back today and they saw us, if they saw me, they'd say, oh my God, talk about being watered down. This is not the brand we left. I'm considered to be radical. They'd look at me and they'd say, my Lord, he's watered down. Like his mother's lemonade. Used to buy pink lemonade when we were kids. It was supposed to have like maybe a pint and a half. She'd fill a half gallon with it. Tastes no more like lemonade than lemonade. Watered down. I would dare say if our founding fathers came back too, they would look at us and say, this is not what we left. This is not our purpose. This is not why we died. And then you know what? We've got to all grow up into the full stature of Jesus Christ. We've got to stop eating pablum and start eating meat and start going where other people won't go and start believing not only for the lost but for the sick. We've got to start because God wants to reach the world. And he told the disciples how it would be. Through the Spirit of God. It wouldn't be through programs. It wouldn't be through meetings. It wouldn't be through talks. It would be through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And where the Spirit of God is, there are conversions. Where the Spirit of God is, there is transformation. Where the Spirit of God is, there are healings. We've seen it in these last days. Praying with people over the phone. People getting healed over the phone like this. Over the phone. Over the phone. I don't believe in healing. Well, God never stopped believing in healing. Whether you don't believe in it or not. See, it really doesn't make a difference what I believe in. What's true is true. Somebody said, I don't believe in Jesus. You know, it makes any difference if you don't believe in Jesus. Just go to hell. But you know what? It's true anyway. I don't believe in the atonement through his blood. Well, you don't have to believe in it. But you know what? It's true anyway. I don't believe that Jesus heals through his blood. Well, you know what? You don't have to believe it. He does it anyway. I don't believe that people speak in other languages anymore. No? Well, you don't have to believe it. But you know what? Today I was praying with the boy today that doesn't know anything about anything. He stopped praying in other languages. He stopped praying in tongues. And when I asked him, I said, what's happening in you? He says, I feel connected to God. I said, oh, that's the best description I've ever heard. What does the Bible say about praying in tongues? That if the Spirit knows what is the will of God,
I said, what's happening? As he was praying in the spirit, I feel connected to God. My God. You have no one to teach you anything, John says, because the anointing will teach you all things. My God. We gotta just let go. We just gotta just join in and worship and repent and just let God be God and let all of his enemies be scattered. And if people don't like it, that's fine. They go someplace else. Let them find something comfortable. Christianity was never meant to be comfortable. Not when the cross is the center of Christianity. We have so watered it down. Just come up and tell Jesus, come into my heart and it'll all be okay. I don't think so. That's when your troubles start. We don't even tell the truth when we preach the gospel. That's when your troubles start. Then the devil's got your number. Never had trouble with the devil before. That's right, because you're in his pocket. But there's more than trouble. There's much more than trouble. My Lord, there's much more than trouble. There's grace that overcomes trouble. There's resurrection power. There's crucifixion power. There's blood power. We start talking about the blood. We're ashamed of the blood. My gosh, it's in the blood that we're saved. It's in the blood that we're healed. We have the sacrifice of Calvary on this altar. We don't talk about the blood, and it's all about the blood. If anyone's got any money, I think you should start one of these radio stations that's, what do they call these radio stations that are like on cable? What do they call them? Yeah, what do they call them? They're on cable. Yeah, satellite radio. Yeah, satellite radio. You got a 24-hour station on the blood. All the songs of the blood. 24 hours blood. You have people converted. You have people reconciled. You have people delivered. I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing. Because I said if I ever have a radio station, it's music. I said it's all in the blood. 24 hours. Let God be God. Ask for the grace to let God be God. Ask for the grace that the Spirit of God will be sovereign. Ask for the grace not to tell him what the next move is. Let's just flow in the river of God. Let's see where the river brings us. And I'm going to tell you where the river will bring you. The Holy Spirit will always bring you to the cross. Because persecution started in the 12th chapter, especially, of the Acts of the Apostles. And after the 12th chapter, they are scattered and they go to the ends of the earth. Without persecution, they would have stayed in Jerusalem. It was very comfortable. It was very comfortable in Jerusalem. Everything was okay. They had some trouble. But you know what? When they start chopping off James's head and killing Stephen by stones, they said, we got to move out of this joint. I don't think they ever would have moved. They just would have stayed where they were. They would have said, well, you know what? We are the descendants of Jesus. My Lord. Lord said, I'm going to tell you how you can be my descendants. I'm going to allow persecution. I'm going to allow killing. You found someone worth living for, someone worth dying for. I'm going to send you to the ends of the earth. And you're going to proclaim the love of God in Christ Jesus to the ends of the earth. And when they go there, you'll get persecuted there too. Thomas, they'll skin you alive in India. That's what they'll do to you. Others, they'll boil you in oil. Lawrence, they'll put you over a barbecue. thank God he said, I'm done on this side, turn me over. Those are our brothers and sisters that we stand on their shoulders. Do you see how watered down we've become? Do you see how namby-pamby, milk-toast, Americanized Christians we've become? Sweet and sour. When you find someone worth living for and someone worth dying for, maybe then you can call yourself a Christian. My God, you love us. And we are watered down. But put us over the fire, that all the water would come out, and all the dross would leave, and that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, wimps as we are, and that you would use us for this generation to bring the gospel fearlessly in word, in sacrament, and in power. We ask this in Jesus' name.